Well, I texted my friends, a few of my friends, and a few of them in Florida. I think that's a good way to make a connection with them. That I was preaching at a church. You just turned me on, didn't you? Okay. And tonight at one of our bigger churches, and even though it's a little bit smaller crowd, that's all right. My last thing I wrote on my text was I was a little nervous. So I got two responses back that were, they would be praying for me and not to be nervous. The Lord would help. And I know y'all are praying for me tonight too. It's been a while since I've been here. I'm not sure the last time my appointment was, but I appreciate Brother Miller considering me to come back. And I just want to do what the Lord wants tonight. You know, if it's for 5 minutes or 50 minutes or whatever the Lord wants, that we need to do it. And, you know, the brothers sitting back there said a while ago, there was a trap door sitting underneath here. He said, you know, you preach very long, they'll open the trap door. I said, well, I couldn't get any of them to tell me who had the button to open the trap door. So if I get preaching too long or the wrong thing and I disappear, you know what happened. But all kidding aside, I want to tell you just briefly about the mission in Florida and what we're doing down there. We started the mission in let me back up. I say this the wrong time every time. The Lord started the mission in August. And our first service was in August. He impressed on me over a year ago to go. And thanks to my in-laws, they were made it possible to get down there in August and take care of many of my issues that I had to worry about that I didn't have to worry about. I could worry about the service, and I appreciate y'all. And we've been going since August once a month, every third Sunday of the month. We just got back last week from there, had a wonderful service. The Lord blessed us with 10 people there, which I think is wonderful. I think it's just absolutely wonderful that they're not local people. There was two that were local, another one. So we have three that's coming locally, and we had visitors from up here that have come down. And only 1 month we have not had a visitor. I feel like the Lord's in it. I feel like the Lord's blessing it. And Mount Lebanon has given us the authority. And the name of the mission is Hope Missionary Baptist Mission. And so we're official. And main thing, I think the Lord's behind it. I really feel like it is. And we've had a few people from different churches from Mount Lebanon come and visit. But the Lord has blessed us with services there, and I'm hoping maybe that it'll turn into more services more often. I'm not sure. I just want to do what he wants me to do. If it's once a month and we stay away, we'll try to do that. But I want his will done there. And so y'all, anybody that's traveling, vacationing, or whatever it may be, if they're down that way, anywhere close to that area, Panama City Beach, send them over there for church, because we'd love to have visitors. We'd love to have anybody come in the door. So, I don't know that it's necessary to tell you the whole background behind the mission or anything, but it's predominantly on my mind and on my heart continually, and I can't get rid of it. I find myself hard to go preach anywhere but at the mission. I feel like I need to be there. I feel like I need to preach God's word there. And some of you preachers, brother, maybe can understand that. I do want to say one quick thing before I get started. And I thank the church of Fairview Memorial for the contribution to the mission. It was very, very generous, and I appreciate that so very much. A lot of people don't think about those type things, and a lot of people don't understand that it does cost money to get places and do those things. And I want everyone to know how much it's appreciated. And if anybody that normally, I know your crowd's normally larger than this on Sunday mornings, tell everyone else in the church that it's very much appreciated. I'll shut up and we'll see if we can't get to our lesson tonight. I appreciate the opportunity. Y'all pray for me as we try to speak for just a little while. If you have your Bibles and want to read, I'd like to read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14, and then we'll move on. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I want to read another set of verses just across the page there in chapter 9, verse 13. Chapter 9, verse 13. This wisdom have I seen under the sun. It is seems to be great unto me. And there was a great city, there was a little city and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered the same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better with strength than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Tonight I want to talk about, just a little while, about following God's will and doing what He wants us to do in our day-to-day lives. And that's the first scripture that I read about fearing God is what we need to do in our lives. We need to fear this great God that can do these great things that have made this world and done the things in this world that we have, that given us the things that we have in this world, has blessed us with the many blessings that He's given me. He's given you. He's given this community. You cannot deny that He has not blessed this place. He has blessed this United States. But I also want to tell you about a great God that is a powerful God that we should fear, we should be, I guess I want to say, afraid of. And that sounds almost contradictory, because He is a God of love. He is a God that will take care of you and be with you no matter what you do, because I've seen this in the mission and the work that we've gone through down there in Florida. He has been with us. I feel there as much at home there as far as preaching as anywhere I could feel. And it's in a motel, in a meeting room. And people walking by, getting out of the elevator, left and right, and for some reason the Lord does not distract me at all there. I don't know why. But I do know why. It's because he is in the matter. And when He's in the matter, he will take care of it. When we have trials and troubles in our life, and we have things that get us down, and I'm telling you, if you're sitting in these seats and you're breathing, you have troubles and trials in this earth. And what is the one single thing we need to depend on is our Lord Jesus that can take care of it. He's got it all, doesn't He? He has got it. He's got your needs. It says here, let us hear this conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. And I thought about reading the Ten Commandments, but we know all our commandments. We know what we're supposed to do. We've all know that what we're in our lives, if you've been saved, what you need to do. If you don't, you need to get on your knees and pray and find out. Brother Mitch preached about this very thing. We all have a mission that we need to fulfill, and we need to find out what it is. And God wants us to adhere to that. He wants us to follow that will. But we should fear Him. And in the fearing of Him, then we will follow the Spirit. And that's basically where I want to go to tonight. I want to talk about how the Spirit leads us and pulls us and directs us. And Mitch has fussed on me about he doesn't pull us. He leads us. Forgive me, Mitch. I see him pushing, pulling any way he can get me to go. Sometimes I just think he just wants me to go. And the Spirit will deal with you and work with you, and he'll work with you tonight. He does, doesn't he? Have you felt God's Spirit in this place? I have. I want to tell you something. When I was 16 years old, right there is where the Lord saved my soul. Underneath the bench. I felt that Spirit. I felt that tug. I was sitting back there almost to where, back seat, almost to the back seat on the back there on the left, and the preacher was preaching, and he preached hard about hell, and I got in a lot of trouble, and I made my way down here to the altar, less like I had done what seemed like 100 more times before. But I feared that he could actually throw me into hell. He's not gonna go off in hell. He's gonna grab you and throw you into hell. When your time comes, if you've not prepared yourself to meet your God, you need to know that without a shadow of a doubt, without no doubt in your mind, that God will take you to heaven when you die. And when that time come right there, and I reached out to my God, I knew that I was nothing I did, but I felt as though I was reaching to him. I don't know if my hand was hitting the bottom of the bench or if I was even out above the bench. I don't even know if my hand was even in the air. But it felt like it was, and I felt like I was reaching to him. And I felt like that God had was dealing with me so strongly that yes, he was getting ready to pitch me off in there, because all I could see below me was the flames of hell. And when I said, I got to reach for you, Lord. And it just felt like, okay, I'm going to fall off into hell. I'm going to just go. I'm just going to go for it. That's my way of describing it. I can't describe it any other better way than that, other than that it was nothing I did other than I just give up. I said, Lord, you got to do it. And he grabbed me. And I was up there around the ceiling there for a little while, and nobody knew it. And I didn't tell anybody. Went 5 years, almost six, without telling it. Until one night at Mount Lebanon, Brother Bryson was preaching, and I found out different. Found out that was all I was going to get, what I got that night. The Spirit deals with us in a day-to-day basis. If you can realize that God wants to use you, He loves you. This great God that we should fear, He loves you. You remember my father, and many of you knew my father. I respected that man. I loved that man with all my heart. Would love to talk to him just one more time. One day I will. I never heard that man tell me he loved me more than all I can remember is three times. I remember him telling me he loved me when I joined the church about Lebanon. That's the first time I ever remembered. I don't remember even growing up him telling me that. And he told me two more times on his deathbed that he loved me. But I want to tell you something, folks. I knew he loved me. I felt that love. I felt that great power that when he walked in the door, I had respect for him. I knew what he meant, what he stood for. When Sunday morning come along, we went to church. And when he said, time to get up, he meant time to get up. When he said, let's do it, let's do it. Is God not the same way, folks? Is Jesus pleading with you this hour, this day, to go do something that he wants you to do? Is another mission to be started somewhere out of this church? I don't know. It's not for me to figure out. It's not for him to figure out. Any of us that can tell any of that. He deals with us. The Spirit leads us, and He deals with every one of us. The Spirit, the Comforter, as the Bible tells us, I've gotten completely off of what I thought I was going to preach on. Brothers, you know what I'm talking about. We just go where the Lord wants us to go. I wish we could open the front end of the church and just look at the cars going. Even on this rainy, cold night, how many cars go up and down this road? How many are saved, folks? How many have made the connection with God? How many have a peace in their heart? Stop and think. I had some scripture marked in 2 Peter or 1 Peter. It talks about be sober and vigilant because the adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. We hear that. We've heard that scripture a lot of times. But stop and think. Is he going to devour you? Is he going to devour? He can't get me. He cannot get me. I'm going to heaven. But he can get me in this earth. He can get my physical life. He can get me and make me lose my influence. He can hurt every one of us in such a way that we can have no influence or help someone that might be lost. And yes, he's devouring. I want us to stop and really think about it. I never really looked at it this way. He is devouring the lost. He is, folks. He is pulling them further. He's got a rope around their neck and jerking them further away from the Lord all the time. I drove down Cemetery Road coming down here, and I saw two boys. They were slumped down in the seat. I'm sure they were good kids, but they had their earphones on, and you could see them. They were just playing the music. They had no care in the world. I thought, well, they're not going to church. They certainly didn't look like they were going to church. Nothing against them. I'm just saying that's how life is. Sunday has become just another day. Jesus is just another name. It's nothing. There's no fear there. There's nothing that makes them afraid that they should love this great and mighty God. When the Lord deals with us and the Holy Spirit deals with us, He deals with every one of us. And we talk about how He deals with me. It makes my heart just beat out of my chest. I think it's much of us is the same way. And those, if anybody here might be lost, they deal with you. He deals with you the same way. It's Him knocking at your door, going, "Hey, hey, hey, I want in. I want in." And it's up to us to heed that Holy Spirit. When the disciples were at the fishing boat and they dropped their nets, immediately they went with Him. It says they immediately went with Him. When the Spirit deals with you, it's immediately. Do it. Do it then. Because the Spirit will pass by and go somewhere else. And many times when I'm talking, I've talked about the Spirit of God and how it just, I think it just whirls around the room. I think it just goes around the room and the Lord says, "Oh, we're going to land on Brother Mitch. And we're going to land on somebody else." I don't know. Maybe that's just a weird way to look at it. And if he lands on you and you don't do anything about it, he'll just pick up and let's go somewhere else. And I want to say something else. It's nothing against your church. Many of our churches are this same way. But have we not become a little dull to the Spirit? Have we invited the Spirit in maybe to the front door up there? Well, let's just invite him to the door, to the window where he can see in. And then okay, well we feel the Spirit. Oh, there he is. We feel the Spirit. Oh, well, I feel good. I feel good for a little while. Let's go home. Have we had services like that? I'm not going to say you had one today. Y'all had somebody, folks on the altar. There's no doubt the Spirit was here. But there's too many times that we do not completely follow the Spirit. He deals with us. And it's all because we do not fear our Lord. The Bible tells us that we must do what the Lord asks us to do. He pleads with us and wants us to follow Him. I want us to stop and think about that devil that's constantly pulling those lost folks away. I need to turn to a couple of more scriptures. I feel like the Lord is bear with me. In the 11th chapter of of Isaiah, it says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear and of fear of the Lord. And it talks about in Isaiah 53, it refers to that same thing again. It talks about that same basic thing. Who hath delivered our report? Who hath believed our report? Who to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there shall be no beauty that we should desire him. And I could go on and read a little more there, but that's talking about Jesus. And when Jesus was here on the earth, he had a great following, and he drew people in. Our Sunday school lesson, if you were at church today, talked about when he went into to and healed the man with the palsy. The Spirit is here with us now, and he deals with us, and he wants to use you tonight. He wants to use you in your daily life. He wants to make a headway with you, I suppose. But there are lost folks and lost souls at stake, isn't there? How many times have we shunned the Spirit? How dare us to shun the Spirit? How can we do such a thing? This great and powerful God has made this earth and given us everything we need, and we're going to say, no, don't think I want to do it right now. Have we done that? I've done it. Fear God and follow His commandments. It tells us to fear God and follow His commandments, and you'll be more in tune with that Spirit. You'll be ready to jump when He says jump. You'll be able to say something whenever He says say something. You'll be able to have an influence on someone because God is in the matter. God, when God gets in the matter, it will work. I think I spoke about that just a little while ago. Fear God and follow His commandments. Every time, because He is not happy if we don't do exactly what He wants us to do. He wants us. He doesn't need us, but He wants us. And He will use you more and more every day. I see the work in Panama City as a great work, but I fear that the devil will get in it. And I fear that something will happen down there, and that's my lack of faith, I know. But if we have faith that God will deal and just do what we need to do and let it be, stay with Him. Let Him take care of it from that point on. We want lost folks to be saved. We had folks that were on the altar today that we need them to be saved. And we want to do exactly what the Lord wants us to do because Lord knows we don't want to be a hindrance. We do not want to get in the way of someone standing to find the Lord. How many times have we stopped the snowball from rolling? The Spirit's moving. And then it's your turn. It may not come to be your turn. You may have to just sit there and sing through the service. You may have to just be part of the service. But if He's dealing with you and He's wanting you to speak or sing a song or like this brother, he felt like he needed to sing a song, and I just was so proud that he wanted to do that. We could just go through the motions. We just invite the Spirit just to the door. Just to the door. What did God say in the Revelation letter? It talks about He will spew you out. I take it as a personal thing. He's going to spew me out. It's not meant that way, but I'm telling you folks, He's not happy with a lukewarm person, a lukewarm service. He wants you to be involved. Don't Don't shun the Spirit. How dare us do such a thing? This great God that deal with me. He wants to deal with me and say, hey, Damon, say something. And if he ain't dealing with you, and I've done it, folks. I've spoke when I shouldn't have spoke. Many of us have done that too. We do the best we can. It's just like our Christian walk. We do better every day if we can. We try to do a little better. Follow the Spirit just a little closer. Get on our knees in the morning and pray. And ask Him, before you walk in these doors, before you go out to work, before you deal with the public, pray, Lord, let me have an influence on somebody. Let me say something at the right time. See the importance of this cemetery is fulfilled with people that have died and gone on. And I read scripture this afternoon talking about when they're gone, they're gone. We can't change. As the tree falls, so how shall it lie? If they're in heaven or if they're in hell. Now is the time to take care of God's work. Today is the appointed day for salvation. If you haven't been saved, today is the day. Now is the appointed time. Immediately. The Bible says immediately many times in the Bible. It tells us how that we should be prepared. The Bible tells us about as preachers, we should be instant in season and out of season. We should be ready to preach. What makes... I'm throwing blame. I'm a lot of times I've been not ready to preach, folks. But have you walked in the door not ready to testify? Have you walked in the door not ready to follow the Spirit? It's scary. That's a little scary to me. I don't want to be there. I want to try to follow Him as close as I can. So many times I let the cares of this world get in my way. And I know you all have cares of your world. The sins that so easily beset us. They do, don't they? Don't they just knock us off track? We're on the track, and I'm with you, Lord, right there, choo, 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 right down the track. And here comes the devil. And you see the rock on the rail, and you're thinking, that's not going to knock me off the track. And I'll just run right over that. And then you crash. The devil is ready to set the trap. He's ready to set the trap when we walk out this door tonight. He will. He's devouring lost folks. That's scary. I got three grandchildren. I got one on the way on Friday. I'll have four grandchildren. Lord willing. Two of them, I think, are really getting close to the age of accountability. We've got others in our family that's going to be there. Grandchildren are born, and children are born every day. And we must see the importance of following God just down to the T, as close as we can, as close as we can. We can't be perfect. It says to be Christ-like. When we call ourselves Christians, that's scary to me, too. I want people to look at me and say, oh, he's a really good Christian, but I'm not a Christian. I'm not perfect. I just want to follow Him to do the best I can. I want to be in God's will. And in God's will, we have power, don't we? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it's... If we have those secret sins, if we have, as we read in Ecclesiastes, it talks about the secret sins and every secret thing, either whether it be good or whether it be evil, those evil things will beset us. And when you get out on your knees and pray to God, you want to have power with Him. Don't tell me you get on your knees and say, oh, well, I don't have, I'll just say what I need to say. Maybe He'll hear me or not. That's a spiritual thing too, isn't it? I've prayed many times, and I know y'all have too. Probably it didn't get any higher than the top of my head. But I know that if you did, if you reach to God enough, and you and I reached to Him enough, I wore this altar out all over both of these altars over the period of 5 years, and I started when I was 12, got saved when I was 16, for almost 5 years, and a lot of those prayers, I didn't get serious about it, I didn't get humble. I've told many folks about you got to have a place to pray and where you can get close to God. My place is in the shower. So it sounds stupid, but Kim, back not long after we moved into that house, she said, "Why do you take such long showers?" Because I can find my Lord there. And I pray to Him. It's a private place. It tells us to go in the closet. Find you a private place. If it's out in the woods or wherever it's at, go find it so that we can have power, so that we can reach those lost folks. It's not Brother Miller's job to reach the lost folks. It's his job to preach God's word. He can go up here and preach his heart out. Ralph can't. Any of these other preachers that are here can preach your hearts out. And if the congregation is not following God, and if they're not doing what the Lord is asking them to do, the Spirit is dealing with you, and you shun it, yeah, it hinders the service. Have you prayed for your pastor to preach the word? Have you been in the right frame of mind when you walked in the door? I've heard a lot of people. I've never heard anybody say, "Well, I went to church on Sunday, and when I got there, I just felt terrible. When I left, I felt worse." Nobody ever says that, do they? I've never heard anybody say it. Maybe somebody that's lost. I always feel better when I go. I'm always lifted up. And you can, I found it over the years. If I can just pray a little while before I go to church, and just pray for the things that to work out the way You want them to work out, Lord, that I'll get a blessing whether nobody else gets one or not. Then I'm ready to go. It fires me up for the coming week. It lifts me up for the next sermon that I have to preach. Follow that Holy Spirit. He will deal with you at home in bed. He will deal with you in your seat at church. He will deal with you going down the road. We've talked about, many of us have talked about how we drove down the road mile after mile. Brother Mike, I'm sure you've done that, driving to work in the mornings, several miles to work, and never remember driving the whole way because you're talking to the Lord. Cruise control in a new way. Draw nigh unto Him, He'll draw nigh unto you. We hear that with the same scripture for the lost, but it's for us too as saved. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. He has a work for you. He has a job for you. Those 3 years that I went to Arkansas, many of y'all know that I've been going to Arkansas for those 3 years, almost 3 years, 6 months, 7 months, whatever it was, I shunned the Lord. I said, "No, I'm not going to Arkansas." Y'all have heard that story from me. And I didn't know why He wanted me to go to Arkansas. It was not for me to help them. I guess maybe I helped them a little. I filled the pulpit, and we had some wonderful spiritual services. We had some wonderful services. I love those folks. They lifted me up, brother. You know what I'm talking about. They're good people. But little did I know, they were helping me through Jesus, through God. It's all God work. They were helping me to mold me to go to Florida, to go to Panama City, because little did I know. But I see it more plainly now. I need you desperately, desperately to pray for that work. My dad told me, whenever you do a job, do it right. I'm not preaching my dad's. I'm not preaching daddyisms here. I'm preaching Jesus wants you to do the same thing. Do it right. I relate it to doing carpentry work because that's what I do. I think, you know, if I'm going to put a piece of mold up and I'm just going to put 3 nails in it, it needs 10. Well, it's going to fall off after one of these days, isn't it? Maybe fall off before you even get done with the job. Do it completely. Any job worth doing, the daddy used to say, is worth doing right. I think that goes right along with, I think he had a lot of daddy-isms that went right along with the Bible. Follow the Holy Spirit and let Him lead you on a day-to-day basis, not when we walk in the door. It's easy. Oh, wait, let's just worship God in these four walls and just praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. If we had loudspeakers to where that it could just radiate all over Bowling Green, maybe so, then that would be really great. But we don't have that, folks. So we've got to do it when we get out of these four walls. We've got to get out to this world that's dying and going to hell. See where they're going. Think about it. The devil is the devouring lion this hour, this moment. He's doing it right now. I'm done.